Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate that you listen to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and also leave us some feedback. Rate us. Give us a review. Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoy.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to The Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
What an interesting radio show. I'll even include the part where the guy with the fake, I don't want to call it a fake Twitter account, the Twitter account that gives fake quotes, the guy calls in to say he's been slandered. A, in order to be slandered, first of all, has to be untrue. Second of all, we have to have identified you. Third of all, you have to prove that you have been damaged by this. Fourth of all, check with your parents before you call into a radio show. That's what I say. John Wilner, San Jose Mercury News, joining us. He's grown up. Man, what happened to Stanford last night?
Boy, when you make UCLA look good, that's saying something. Stanford played third-string quarterback, three freshmen on the offensive line, and isn't all that good to begin with. So that's basically it.
I keep looking and using Stanford as kind of the Rosetta Stone for the conference. Like, all right, Oregon beat them. Washington lost to them. That means Oregon should beat Washington. Is that fool's gold or is that logic?
A little of both, because it kind of depends when you've caught Stanford. I mean, they played the Washington game was by far their best performance of the year, but I also think Washington, you know, was bad. It was a combination of the two things. They've had, you know, they've played a backup quarterback or their second string quarterback started two or three games. They just started a third stringer. Their offensive line has been just pounded with injuries since the USC game. I don't know that you can necessarily draw any conclusions for the Oregon-Washington game from what those two teams have done against Stanford. I think it is a kind of an entity unto itself on Saturday.
John Wilner with us of the San Jose Mercury News Bay Area News Group. Chip Kelly, how much does that victory last night fuel him, get people off his back? Is that enough?
I don't think it's enough. I think they need to string together a few in a row. They got ASU next week at home. Then they play Colorado. You know, they could win both those games. And that's what it's going to take, right? I mean, I don't think that them going 3-9 again or 4-8 is really going to quell the unrest at UCLA. I think that they need to get up to, you know, if they can go 5-7, 6-6, people will think there's some actual progress. And when you look at the South, there, you know, Utah is probably the only team UCLA can't beat on a good day. So they could end up with a few more wins. There's no doubt about it, but they got to build on what they've done, what they did Saturday.
Looking at Stanford, I mean, is it enough to say, look, their offensive line coach leaves to be the head coach at Rice? Something is lost in that, or is this just a down cycle for David Shaw, or is it both?
I think it's both. I do think losing Mike Bloomgren hurt them. He was their offensive line coach for many years and also was their run game coordinator and was kind of a voice in the coach's room to, if not challenge Shaw, then at least provide some other veteran experience. Whereas I'm not sure that they necessarily have that right now with the group of offensive coaches around Shaw. And I think that their recruiting has suffered. They are not as good. The front seven on defense for sure is not as good. The offensive line isn't, even when it's totally healthy, it's not what it was. They don't have a Bryce Love or a Christian McCaffrey. So, you know, I think that there's a lot to it.
John Wilner with us. Wilner, let's look at Oregon and Washington. Jimmy Lake on the defensive side of the ball for Washington, Marcus Arroyo on the offensive side. That's an interesting chess match for me.
Well, for sure it is. And I think a lot of it's going to, to me, is going to have to do with Oregon's, you know, their approach. What is going to get decided in the coaches' meetings this week in terms of how much they want to run the ball, how much they're going to pass the ball. You know, that balance, I think, is going to be crucial. If they don't run the ball and they turn into, you know, they, Herbert ends up throwing at 30, 35, I think that that is how they will allow Washington to keep it close. You know, if they are committed to being two-dimensional on offense, even if they're not running very successfully early, they got to stick to it.
I wonder about Oregon's game plan to this point. How much of the fact that they've been vanilla do you think has to do with Arroyo? How much to Cristobal? How much to the fact that they haven't had to turn Justin Herbert loose?
You know, I think there's some of it. And this has been Washington's issue, too, over the last few years. And, you know, there's a lot of similarities between the programs. But, you know, Chris Peterson has played his defense. When he knows he goes out there with a with a defense that can shut teams down, and he's confident that the opponent isn't going to get more than, you know, 15, 20 points, that can affect how you call your plays on offense and what plays you put in the playbook for that week. And I think that there might be some of that going on with the Ducks. Cristobal knows he's got an excellent defense. I mean, one of the best in the country, the best Oregon has had in who knows how long. And so you kind of play to that a little bit with how you call your plays and how you manage your time and your field position. And I would bet that some of that's going on too.
Wilner, if this is a close game, I don't trust Oregon's kicking game. Husky Stadium, bad weather. Give us an idea of what you think Husky Stadium's worth in a game.
A game like this with weather, inclement weather, I would say Husky Stadium is worth 4 or 5 points for the home team. And special teams, though, I mean, Washington, you know, Peyton Henry's All-American, having an All-American season, right? And last year was a little bit flipped, right? And the Huskies missed that field goal. I absolutely think if it gets to a fourth quarter field goal contest, huge advantage to Washington, to the point that it may affect how Cristobal and Arroyo call their plays, right? I mean, if they got fourth and four at the 28, they may go for it, right?
Yeah, I think they have to. There's no point in kicking.
That could have a huge impact on how the game goes.
You trust Oregon in this game? I mean, I keep saying I trust them more than Washington. I'm picking them to win the game. But there is a little bit of, hey, Mario Cristobal is a game manager. Does he really know what he's doing? Can they really go to a hostile place and win a big game? All that's floating around my head.
Yeah, it's understandable, right? You think about Oregon, you think about the Stanford game last year, and it's hard not to kind of put that into the calculation. I'll tell you what I trust is, I trust Oregon's defense. I think Oregon's going to win the game, and I think it's because of the defense. It's going to be pretty tight. Both coaches are going to be, you know, a little bit conservative in their play calling, and it's going to just come down to a couple of stops, you know, getting off the field on third down. And I think Oregon's got a better chance of doing that than the Huskies do.
John Wilner with us, Bay Area News Group, San Jose Mercury News. Nobody knows the Pac-12 like Wilner. Wilner, the conference is getting what it needs if Oregon runs the table, or Utah even runs the table from this point. They'll get a one-loss team sitting there for the selection committee, the playoff committee. Some people say the conference is out. I don't think it's over yet. What do you see?
I don't think it's totally over. I don't at all think it's totally over, but they need an awful lot of things to go right. They need somebody to finish with one loss, and I would argue that Arizona State might be a better team out of the South with one loss than Utah, because at least ASU's got that win against Michigan State. But Oregon to me is going to have the best resume. If you were to calculate everybody out with one loss, Oregon would have the best resume because of that Auburn game. But Oregon needs Auburn to not collapse. And then you got to end up with a two-loss team somewhere, you know, in the other Power Five. I don't think a one-loss Pac-12 team is going to get in ahead of one-loss Clemson, Bama, Ohio State, or Oklahoma.
I want you to talk maybe a little bit about every team in the conference that you think is a contender. Give me, where do we draw the line on teams that you think might actually win the Pac-12?
Okay, North. Well, at this point, it's only two teams in the North. I think if the, and it's only one if Oregon wins. If Oregon wins Saturday, I think it's over. If Washington wins, though, then it gets a little interesting, right? Because the Huskies are one game back and they have the head-to-head, and Oregon still has to go to SC and ASU. But I don't think there's anybody else in the North that can win it. The South, I think it is three teams, SC, Utah, and ASU. And I'll tell you what, SC could be in awfully good position after this week. You know, if Utah beats ASU and SC wins, they're going to be in good shape because they're going to be tied at the top with Utah and they've got the head-to-head.
The team that I think still could be reckoned with that is not going to win is Washington State. They still play at Oregon. They seem to have had the Ducks number. There's an Apple Cup matchup. I think they could be incredibly disruptive.
Their defense will have to play a lot better than it has the last, you know, few weeks for sure. And I think there was a little bit, I saw a little improvement in the ASU game. But, man, they are not what they have been the last 2 years on defense. And I just wonder, you know, it's so hard to keep it going year after year at that level, especially if you're, you know, you're Washington State and your recruiting pool is a little bit different. I happen to think this is the year Oregon beats the Cougars. I think that Andy Avalos and the way he plays defense is going to give the Ducks an answer to the air raid that they haven't had. And I'm telling you now, Oregon will win that game against the Cougars, and they will win that game by double digits.
All right, moving across the Pac-12 into basketball, you see the Pac-12 is going to take Colorado and Arizona State over to China. They'll do the Alibaba sponsored event there. I get why the Pac-12 wants to do it. I just, you know, given what we saw happen in the NBA, given the fact that some UCLA players were facing prison time a couple years ago, I'm a little concerned about what the Pac-12's doing here. I'll be watching their trip. What do you make of them, their foray into China?
You know, it's part of this grand plan to expand their brand in Asia, and certainly China is kind of the core of that. This was the president's, you know, 8 years ago telling Larry Scott that they wanted to kind of become more of a gateway to Asia, so they created this, I think it's called Pac-12, I want to say Global Initiative. And, you know, the basketball game is a big part of it because they want to get their brand out so that they can attract students that are going to pay full tuition as international students. There's no doubt about that. And they have had some trouble. And this, the stuff that's going on with China now and the way it just kind of feels a little bit unseemly to be sending these universities over there, given what's happening in Hong Kong. I mean, this was a bet the Pac-12 made 6 or 8 years ago because you knew that there was going to be stuff with China that was politically uncomfortable, and yet they're committed to it. So they're not going to – I don't think that what's going on is going to kind of move them off of their position at this point. It's going to have to be a lot more serious for them to reconsider.
John Wilner with us, San Jose Mercury News. All right, you're picking the Ducks over the Huskies. What kind of game is it? Close game, low scoring? Where do you see it?
I think it's mostly low scoring. I'm going 26, 27, 20, 21, something like that. You know, it's like a 20s game. It's fairly close. I think Washington is going to end up with a bunch of field goals because their red zone offense is not very good. Oregon's red zone defense is terrific. And at the same time, I think Oregon's going to end up with some touchdowns. I think it's going to be a deal where Oregon just scores more touchdowns. It's fairly even, but the touchdown versus field goal is the difference.
I have it,
so it ends up being in the 20s.
I have it really similar. I have it 28 to 19. I don't think the Huskies get to 20 in this game.
They may not, and that may be 7 points and 4 field goals for them, right? That's that's basically what you're talking about, because they have not shown, other than like a half against Arizona, which has a bad defense, they haven't really been able to score in the red zone, and the Ducks have just been phenomenal. And I realize that Washington is going to present some problems for Oregon that maybe the Ducks haven't seen, especially with Eason, but I think Washington's only chance is going to be if they can score on big plays. In other words, don't be in position where they have to score in the red zone. You know, hit some deep passes, or maybe Ahmed, you know, breaks off a 50-yard run, something like that. If it gets down to Oregon or Washington having to score inside the 20, I think that's a big advantage for the Ducks.
John Wilner, I appreciate you, man. I will see you down the road. Thank you for making time for us.
Sure thing. Have fun this weekend.
All right. There he is. Tweet me. Tell me your score for the Oregon-Washington game. Give me your score for Cal and Oregon State as well. We'll talk about that coming up. Your phone calls. Phone lines are open. 503-417-7575. All right, I want your phone calls, wherever you may be. If you're stuck in traffic, if you are sitting at your cubicle, or if you are picking up the kids, if you are anywhere where you can have a phone conversation, call into the show. Tell me what you think of the Oregon-Washington game. What makes the rivalry a rivalry? Oregon State, we haven't even hardly talked about Oregon State going to Cal. And I think that's a real disservice. I think Jake Luton, Artavis Pierce, Isaiah Hodgins, Jonathan Smith's team's got a big game at Berkeley. They have to play well. Last season, they did a good job of bouncing back when they didn't play well. This was the first time this season that they were just totally non-competitive in a game. Curious to see how they respond to that on Saturday. I do think they'll bounce back. I think that game's a really close game. I think it's in the low 20s. I think it's like a 23-20 game. Oregon, I'm picking Oregon to win. I think Oregon wins that game by just about two scores against Seattle, or against the Huskies in Seattle. Let's go to the phone lines. Former Oregon Duck Nick Cody, who is in Seattle, has called into the show. You can join him by calling 503-417-7575. Nick Cody, you ready?
Oh, I'm ready, man. I couldn't call in every day this week, but how about 2 for 5? Is that good for you, John?
2 for 5. You're hitting 400. You get to the Hall of Fame that way. Cody, are you? Tell us, like, for people who are watching the game or in the stadium, where will you be? What will you be wearing? Because I know this has been orchestrated now for several weeks.
Oh yeah, I've had it planned. I finally saw that on GoDucks.com they had a. Official Nike custom jerseys that you could finally purchase on sale. I've always been waiting for one of those sales, and coincidentally, some NCAA settlement checks came through the mail, so absolutely had to take advantage of that, and so I finally got a 61 Nick Cody jersey that actually still fits. I'll be wearing that, and I should be right behind the Ducks bench there, right on the first row.
Now, you've been mixing it up on social media, I noticed. I've kind of just observed to this point. What are you doing mixing it up with the natives?
Well, you want to talk about my my main account or my college football quotes account? No?
No, let's not talk about that.
No, that's just how we are here in Seattle, John. I don't know. A lot of these people, because of the weather and stuff, they stay inside on their computer. They make all the Hyder accounts they want. No, I stay a bit busier than that, but I've been engaging a lot more with Duck fans because I'm releasing my first podcast actually today. So when people
are
from Eugene, they can, when they wrap up with the BFT and are still sitting there in their car waiting for, you know, another hour or two, they can go ahead to @onceaduck on Twitter or Instagram. Go ahead, give us a follow, and on SoundCloud, and you can listen to our podcast. It's about an hour. And it covers a little bit of the trash talk that's been going on Twitter this week. But honestly, up here in Seattle, outside the Twitter, it's been really, really quiet.
Why is that? Why are people in Seattle suddenly quiet?
It's not suddenly. I think the Husky fever was kind of a big wave that came on pretty strong 2015, 2016. And, you know, deservedly so. The team was really peaking and coming out of, you know, kind of just a conditioning to 7-win start, and So it's really just been kind of a temperament up here, just because everybody really focuses on the Seahawks first and foremost when they're successful, and then kind of runs down to UW, especially when they've lost two games already.
Nick Cody has called into the show, a former Oregon Duck offensive lineman. You played for Chip Kelly. You played for three coaches or two? Two head coaches?
Just two. Just Coach Bilotti's last year is when I redshirted. And my very first game was against the Huskies in their 0-12 season, I just have to mention. Just to, you know, what week it is.
Let me ask you, as a kid who grew up in the state of Washington, you come to Oregon. Were you a Husky fan before you were a Duck?
No, growing up in Brush Prairie, Washington, just across the Columbia River from you there, I was kind of right in the epicenter of all four Pac-12 schools, or at the time Pac-10 schools that are in the Northwest. And I had basically in my school kind of people doing a tug of war from four different ways to try and get me to look at their school, and I was going through the recruiting process. And that's one of the things we'll get into a bunch in my podcast. We even talked a little bit about going up and being recruited and getting to first see the plans for Husky Stadium before they remove that god-awful track.
Hold on. You have a podcast?
I have a podcast, John.
What's the name of the podcast? What's the name of the podcast?
It's the Once a Duck podcast, and you can find us on Twitter at Once a Duck or on SoundCloud.
Once a Duck. Like you are once a duck. You're not still a duck?
Once a duck, always a duck is a
phrase. I like that.
You got to keep it short. The people's attention span, you got to grab them.
All right, give me an idea. Adriana is certainly interested in this conversation because she is like Miss Podcast, or I should say Ms. Podcast down there. She's sitting on the BFT podcast. Are we at 2 million listens now?
We're over 2 million.
Over 2 million. She wants to know what makes a successful podcast. This is day one, episode one for you.
Well, I think the biggest thing is you've got to know your audience. We have a very specific audience base, in fact, but being Duck fans, but it even expands to people like you, John, who have a very, distinct interest in Pac-12 football and learning some of the stories that you might not get anywhere else.
I love that. Give us an idea, episode one. Give us a teaser.
I'll give you a teaser. We have one person you interviewed this week that's an ex-Duck that's pretty important to program history in most people's eyes, and he's our very first interview. And I think that takes about 16 minutes of our four-hour podcast.
When you say "are," like there's more than one. Like, who are you?
I guess you're going to have to tune in and see, aren't you, John?
Who's the other one's a ducker?
So I have a great co-host named Sam, and he is currently a student at the U of O. He's been a Duck fan for many years, and he worked as an intern for a short time down there to radio station, and I came into contact with him, and we've been working well together ever since. We've had this in the mix for a while. I have pitched a couple different ideas for show ideas, but I think this week was just the perfect week to finally kick it off.
You've been talking about this podcast for a long time, because it was like, I almost felt like you were just going to talk about it forever and it was never going to get done. So I'm glad that you actually recorded it, and it's real now.
Well, thank you, John, and a big credit goes to you and your show, and Peter, too. It's been an inspiration to see them. It's one of those things, it's like, God, if those guys can do it,
yes,
yeah, I can easily do that.
Peter Samson's got a podcast. Come on.
Come on, Nick.
Adriana is dying right now. She's loving this. You should get Adriana as a guest.
Absolutely. If she wants to talk about how Oregon should have beat Auburn, we could talk about that. I don't know how much more we could talk about.
You want to move the needle, you get Alabama Adriana on your show.
Absolutely. I hear that that's what got you to all your millions of views.
Get her on the show.
That's what you do. Nick, I'm gonna tweet out. I haven't even listened to this. I know it's gonna be good. I'm gonna
get a shout out too.
I do.
I wouldn't have had my prediction ready to go unless you.
I'm gonna retweet the podcast. I'm gonna help you get a couple more people will listen to it, and I'm gonna listen to it now. Do you want my honest feedback? Like, what if I listen to it and I go, man, this is just bad? Do you want me to tell you?
yeah, I need feedback from everybody. I mean, get at me on Twitter. Let me know. I want to know not just what you think of the show, but what you want to see in the future episode.
All right. I like that. All right. Nick Cody, he'll be there in Husky Stadium. Are you going to be wearing your number 61 jersey?
Absolutely. Just got it. It's a brand new one because all the ones I have are all tattered or they don't really actually have sleeves on them.
You should wear full helmet and pads in the stands.
See, I don't have any from actually in my playing days. I do have, it's a used helmet, but it's a reconditioned one that they sell you back as a player when you're done playing.
Next year or the year after, you go full gear, cleats, everything.
No, I can't do it, man. I would hop over the railing and, it would be it'd be a lot different than the streaker that got tackled in the last tuck game, you know?
I love it. All right, you just run around the stadium and you tackle anybody who's in a Huskies
Absolutely.
Jersey.
Oh, man, don't tempt me.
All right, Nick Cody, your prediction again for this game?
21-0, John. It's gonna be a rainy lunch, 80% chance of rain. I'm ready for it, and I think the Ducks' run game is gonna be ready for it too.
I like how you're going. You're Mario Cristobal's best friend. He'd love that score.
Oh yeah, he would love it. I think especially because technically that Miami team should have been the undisputed national champions when the Huskies claimed their last one. So I think he would really like just to take it to him.
All right, Nick Cody, congratulations on your podcast. Again, it's called Once a Duck. And if you listen to it, are you a once a ducker?
Always a duck. Thank you, John.
All right, there he is. Give it a listen. Former Oregon Duck Nick Cody calling into the show live from Seattle behind enemy lines. He's got a podcast. Peter's got a podcast. Adriana, you feel left out. You don't have a podcast.
I'm good. I can just go on there, when I want, but... Or when they want me. But.
Yeah, you'll be a guest.
Yeah.
I had to find out Peter had a podcast from other people.
Last I heard, as far as getting you as a guest, is you said you would text me, and that was 2.5 weeks
ago,
John.
Now I'm big time in you. Feelings are hurt. It's all because I wanted to be on that show. All right, the 2 at 2, I promise you, is coming up. I also promise you right now...
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.